I am Planta on the Line in Vancouver, British Columbia, at thecommentary.ca. Being a bit of a jazz fan, I wondered aloud on Twitter recently on news that Wu-Tang Clan would be a headlining act at the upcoming 34th annual TD Vancouver International Jazz Festival, whether they and or The Roots, another headlining act, were in fact jazz. So who better to discuss this all with than the festival's managing and artistic director, Rainbow Robert. Some of the other acts include Herbie Hancock, Five Alarm Funk, and Too Many Zoos, A Tribe Called Red's DJ Shub, Alexander Hawkins, Mats Gustafsson, as well as over 150 free concerts at the Vancouver Art Gallery, Robson Square, Granville Island, as well as David Lamb Park, and two venues on the North Shore. There's such a variety in the lineup that it'll be good to talk to Ms. Robert about what to expect. Some 400,000 attendees are at concerts across the city in what marks for a lot of people the kickoff to summer. We taped this interview in early May, so do check out the website for what's left in terms of tickets, coastaljazz.ca. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Rainbow Robert. Ms. Robert, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. So I was being somewhat facetious when I tweeted about Wu-Tang Clan being part of a jazz festival, but I mean, so how do you explain it? I mean, one would think that they're more rap or hip-hop than jazz.
And they are, certainly, but the way we see it with a festival as large and as comprehensive as the one that we produce as Coastal Jazz in Vancouver, we find that the dialogue that flows between the art forms is one of the most important and exciting things and something that we're very focused on. And there's a very clear cross-pollination between jazz and hip-hop that has really existed since the dawn of the hip-hop explosion. Mm. So, you know, some of the things that we can look at that show those clear threads are the fact that the RZA from the Wu-Tang Clan has sampled lots of jazz material as part of his music. Other tie-ins include collaborations with the Canadian jazz punk band Bad Bad Not Good. Mm-hmm. When they really started to hit it huge, Ghostface Killah came out and began collaborating with them. So it's not even just a tie-in between jazz and hip-hop, but, you know, more to the point, between jazz and in Canada as it veers to the punk side and how that's been embraced by the hip-hop scene. And that's something that's also pretty exciting to us, and another kind of layer of the identity of our festival is that, you know, the bridge between, you know, punk rock and free jazz is also a key area that we focus on at the festival. So these, you know, the streams of musical communication go in multiple different directions, and we find that it's how these streams intertwine that is where some of the most exciting new discoveries lie.
And is it that the thing that the more you listen to music and the more that you like music, you find that you can listen in any genre, and at the end of the day, it's not jazz, it's not country, it's not rock. It's all music, isn't it?
And I think, as with, you know, all mediums, you know, the more we dive into it, the more we're immersed in music, the more that we begin to thrive on, you know, new discoveries or music that's more challenging. Mm. And it all depends on the person, and we try and have offerings for people that veer in both directions. Some people might just be, you know, completely invigorated by the notion of hearing something that they think is more challenging, but that springs from something that they were already interested in. Mm. So that's where these kind of cross-pollinations between art forms come into play. But there are other people who look to music for other comforts, you know, and people who, you know, they listen to the full range of, you know, what's in front of them musically, and then they decide that they're interested in more traditional work. So we're also really careful to cultivate that layer of our program so that people who want to hear the cutting edge of something that's more traditional, that's part of the offering. But if there's people whose tastes through listening to music for so long have, on the flip side, become more extreme, then we also have, you know, more extreme offerings on the menu for people to explore.
Well, we'll get into some of that in just a sec, but I think that's what struck me as I was preparing for a chat. The importance of a festival like this is just how important live music and that experience is to the listener. I mean, it's one thing to have these things in our ears that we're listening to every day, all day, some of us. But when you get to a venue, whether it's Pyatt Hall or Frankie's Jazz Club, or the QE Theater. It's something altogether. The memory of music is cultivated, and it made more enjoyable when you see the artist doing it live, right?
Yes, and I think that, you know, music is one of the great escapes that we have as human beings. It takes us out of our day-to-day lives, and it brings us together to have an experience in the moment where we're all listening to the music, but we're all looking at it through our own lens. And, you know, one of the things that we feel is so important is that music is something that brings people together in challenging times, you know? And it's something that really flies in the face of the adversity that we deal with in our day-to-day lives, kind of the melting away the stress or evaporating boredom. And, you know, something that, you know, brings something exciting to our lives that's outside of that which we do day-to-day on the regular, and a way that we can be brought together in an inspired way with other people through kind of just soaking in the music.
That's the other thing, back to Wu-Tang for just a sec.
Yes.
I had occasion to listen to them for the first time seriously, you know, sitting down with myself and putting the things in my ears and listening to them and their work and preparing for a chat. And, you know, it's one thing to see their artistry and see, you know, how significant they are in terms of music. But I can't imagine how exciting it'll be to be in that theater watching that show with so many fans. Because ever since the announcement in early May, the response has been so good. And you can tell that there's so many fans in this town.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Like, I think it's definitely a Wu-Tang kind of town. And, you know, we have to match the, you know, the offerings that we put forward as a festival to, you know, the people that are looking for straight-ahead jazz. But we also have to look at our where we are, what our location is. And the West Coast is very kind of R&B. It's very hip-hop. There's a lot of people who are really into funk. And so kind of pushing the boundaries has always been part of our identity as a society at Coastal Jazz. And I think what sets us apart from some other jazz festivals around the world and in Canada as well is that we've always thrived musically through, you know, underscoring the connection between different art forms. And we've kind of lived by the fact that we're here to surprise and awaken audiences through different musical experiences, and that we're not a society that delivers to people exactly what they might expect. There are always layers there, like the offering always includes things that people are more comfortable with that they might expect, so some people will gravitate towards those beautiful shows that happen at places like Pyatt or Frankie's Jazz Club. But then there's another part of our audience locally and people traveling to the festival from all over the world that are looking for something that is more challenging and something that is different. And, you know, a lot of people come to town and will stay for 10 days to watch the whole festival, and they can see, you know, maybe 20 straight-ahead jazz shows, and then they can go out and see some hip-hop shows and some improvised music shows. So there's, we really try and put forward an offering that's broad enough that there's a chance for people to have, like, a jaw-dropping musical adventure.
And back to Wu-Tang for just a sec. I mean, that show looks like it'll be a sellout, won't it?
No question. It's only been on sale to the public now for 3 hours, and it's already half gone.
There you go.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing about the festival that struck me, and this has been the case since the mid-'80s when it started, is that if people can go to venues like that and pay, you know, the top price for a ticket, but then there are dozens of other shows that are free throughout this town, right?
Actually, 150. We do about 150 free shows. So, you know, and that's really important to us, too, as a festival, because there are certainly people who have the resources that they need to attend a whole bunch of ticketed shows, but and that's part of the audience that we serve. But another part of, you know, our mandate as an organization and what makes us special is that we want people who don't have the funds available to attend concerts to also be able to go out and see 100 shows. you know, a lot of people will take their 2 weeks of vacation time off at this time of year, and you can kind of start going to concerts on Granville Island at 1:30 in the afternoon, and you can be out at concerts until 1 in the morning. And, you know, most of this can all be experienced free to the public. And we also try and keep the accessibility really there on all the other series. So, you know, with the exception of large marquee acts like The Roots, the Wu-Tang Clan, and Herbie Hancock, which are headlining our festival this year, there's so many other musical discoveries to be found on stages all through town, all of which are free to the public, which I think is really important because, you know, people need to be brought together through musical experiences, and we wish to bring people together who buy tickets, but we also want to be 100% certain that we're putting forward, you know, just a huge, huge amount of music that is just an offering back to the community.
So what are your days like when the festival's on? Are you going from venue to venue during the day?
Yes, I am. Yeah. Yes, I am. I'd say that I'm always committed to staying for an entire concert. That's my general rule, because in order to respect the art, you want to see the full arc of what the artist is saying within a set.
Sure.
But in general, my day starts with the performance work series on Granville Island, which is free to the public. It starts at 1:30 p.m. every day. There's two sets. It ends at 3:30. So I usually hop over to Granville Island and begin my day of music there. And then if it's on the weekend, I then go to, on the opening weekend, the Downtown Jazz Series. So we have two major stages set up at the Vancouver Art Gallery, one of which is a huge outdoor stage that holds a capacity of about 5,000 people. The other is on the other stage of the art gallery, which is a slightly smaller stage. But we have, you know, music happening there all day long. You can spend the entire day walking around in the sunshine and kind of going from stage to stage. So that would be what the experience would be like on the opening weekend.
Mm.
Then when those stages shut down, of course, at about 9:30 p.m. On the Vancouver Art Gallery stages, then you go out into the clubs. We have a beautiful series at the Imperial, which is kind of the coolest mid-sized club in town at the moment.
Right. Yeah.
And on opening night, for example, we have a band called The Comet is coming, which is this amazing UK saxophonist, Shabaka Hutchings, or King Shabaka. We've had a couple of his bands over the past couple of years, and this one is kind of, it's coming out of the jazz tradition. It's a saxophone based band, but it's got a bit of a Rage Against the Machine vibe to it, and people, you know, come out to see this band in droves. I've gone to see them all over the world, and it's a completely different musical experience. So you can kind of begin the day with a concert in the afternoon, like halfway in open air on Granville Island. Then you can go down to a free series where there's just throngs of people checking out different music all day long. And then you can move into the nightclubs. And then you can, you know, even take it one step further. And then there's the deep late night experience, which happens at places like the Ironworks, where we have midnight concerts on all of the Friday, Saturday, and the final Sunday night of the festival. So you can be, you know, out there listening to music for 12 hours straight. And depending on what your appetites are, you can check out stuff from literally every corner of the globe.
Indeed.
Our program is truly, truly international. This year we have music from Italy, France, Austria, the U.S., Sweden, Japan, Germany, Mexico. One of my favorite bands that's performing as part of a free series is on the final weekend at David Land Park.
Mm-hmm.
We have a band called Troker from Mexico, which is fantastic. They're going to be performing free to the public, and we do that through kind of working with all the cultural agencies from around the world, and, you know, it's just going to be a showstopper. They have a beautiful recording on Tiny Desk series on YouTube, and it is another kind of cross-pollination thing where it is Mexican music, but it's jazz because it's horn-heavy, but it also utilizes turntablism, and they've got MCs as well. So again, you see in different parts of the world, this is happening. You know, we've got kind of punk jazz bands from the Netherlands. We have a hip-hop band from Italy where the lead MC is from Ethiopia. We have artists from Gambia, from Cuba, from Cameroon. So, and a lot of that stuff is part of the free program. So people can really, you know, go from stage to stage and see, you know, some of the most sublime things that are happening in all areas of the world, all coming together to just be this immense, really critical mass of different experiences for people to just take a journey through.
Yeah, this festival has meant a lot to the city and to visitors, obviously. What's it like been for you? Because you've been associated with it now for many years.
I have. I've been with the festival for 21 years now.
Yeah, to see it evolve, especially. I mean, now that you're, you know, at the top of the festival, there is the managing director.
Yeah, it's a beautiful experience, really. I was fortunate enough to work with the original founders and come into the festival when it was kind of, you know, what, a quarter of the way through its history, and I was just so impressed by the breadth of the programming and also by the culture within the organization, the environment in the office. Everybody's really excited about the music. We enjoy working together. We laugh together. And that's what, you know, as an intern at the time, made me think, oh my gosh, you know, this is the type of organization that's doing something special enough that I would dedicate my life's work to it if I was ever to be extended that opportunity. And because I had a very deep history with music, I was fortunate enough to work alongside with the founding artistic director, Ken Pickering, for 20 years before he retired. And he, you know, was just a world-class explorer of music. And for his entire lifetime, he's not with us anymore, but for his entire lifetime, he went to the ends of the earth to discover the most beautiful music in the world and to bring it back home for the audience. So for me, I got to work alongside of him and see the wonder of what he had designed, and then to be very fortunate to be here to carry that vision forward. And it's something that is, it's a nonstop adventure for me. And I just feel really honored to be able to be a part of bringing this music to the city and to see it, you know, changing the fabric of who we are and how we come together to celebrate life through music.
Yeah. Now, I'm a Sinatra devotee, so there is an event, one of the best albums is Sinatra at the Sands, and there is an event for that, isn't there?
Yes, and that's part of our the really solid Pyatt Hall series this year. So that's going to be Steve Maddock and the Jill Townsend Big Band. So that's super cool because it's a female-led big band that's local. Jill Townsend is just amazing, and I was really thrilled to see that their program for this year is going to be Sinatra at the Sands. So that's a really, really great series, and that's happening on Tuesday the 25th. There's other amazing straight-ahead offerings in that series, including the Arntzens, Three Generations in Jazz, Layla Bialy, Hugh Fraser's Veggie, which will be another absolute highlight of the series. Another couple of great shows are within the straight-ahead offering are Joe Magnarelli Quintet featuring Ralph Moore, and finally Eric Alexander Quartet featuring Eric Reed. So these are really beautiful shows. We kind of have done a lot of research through the course of presenting this festival, and we found that for some of these shows that being in an intimate environment is the best. So for the bulk of these shows, it's just over 100 capacity, and for most of them we do two shows per night. So people are able to get really close up together and close to the music, and really it kind of puts aside that experience where you can feel so far away from the music that you don't know how to connect to it. We find that in these smaller spaces that people just feel like they're awash with the music and the people are close together, and it just really, I find that people come away from these experiences feeling like they've really been a part of something rather than witnessing it, being a part of it.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. You're doing great work, Rainbow. I appreciate your time today. Thanks for this.
It's fantastic and a pleasure to meet you, and I hope you have a wonderful festival. If you want any other recommendations, feel free to give me a shout anytime.
Visit coastaljazz.ca for tickets and information. Rainbow Robert joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plunton.